We're on the phone with a CFO at War Memorial Hospital, Kevin Kalchick, who's subbing in for David John today, who's on vacation. So I'm assuming, Kevin, there probably is some golf involved in this vacation somewhere, or if it's David John on vacation, right?
Actually, maybe, but no, he's going to watch his grandson play baseball in North Carolina. They have a big tournament down there.
Oh,
he's pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. That's exciting. Very cool. Well, I'm sure that hopefully he's having great weather down there, and the tropical storm that's heading that way won't affect his vacation plans this week, but we're glad to have you on the phone. Kevin, tell us a little bit before we get into talking about the COVID and things that are going on at the hospital, just a little bit about what you do and how long you've been at the hospital and things like that, a little bit about your background.
Okay, I'm a certified public accountant. I've been at the hospital since 2004 as the chief financial officer. Before that, I worked at Munson Healthcare and audit firm Plante Moran doing hospital assurance work. So I've been here since 2004 as a CFO, and I oversee a number of departments, you know, obviously finance, but registration, health information or medical records, the billing office, dietary, you know, just a number of different departments working with our entire team.
So you've been here for a while, so you've kind of seen, this seems like the hospital, I mean, I've been here since 1994, so it seems like the hospital's kind of gone through some ups and downs over the years and everything. You've kind of been through that too. Where is the hospital now as far as financially, on financial footing? Where do you think the hospital is now, and where do you think it's going to be in the next 5-10 years?
Well, I think we're in our best spot ever, and I don't know if you had planned on talking about our discussions with MidMichigan, but it's really nice to be able to talk to a number of different hospitals about potentially joining with them. There's, you know, less than 10 independent hospitals in the state right now, but from a War Memorial perspective, we're in great shape. We've expanded services. We're in primary care now. We upgraded our Meditech system back in 2018. It gives us a lot of information. It really helps us in a number of different areas, even, you know, for the patients and the patient portal. But financially, you know, from a cash perspective, we're in the best position we ever have been. Last year was our best year ever, even though it was COVID. And a lot of that, you know, is due to the CARES funding. But, you know, from a 10-year horizon, I really look at our MidMichigan discussions as something that will most likely happen. They seem to be a great partner so far. We're in the due diligence process right now. They've asked us for about 200 items of information. We've asked them for the same, and we'll go forward through that process and see how it vets out, and maybe, you know, within 60 days we'll have more information as to whether or not we're going to move towards a definitive agreement. But, you know, from a, you know, 5-10 years, We in management, you know, at our organization, we really just look at all of the services we provide and look on continuing to expand them and definitely not stepping backwards at all. Again, you know, very few hospitals like us in a rural environment provide, you know, the behavioral health center and dialysis and obstetrics and all of the primary care and a lot of subspecialties. So I think we're in really good shape.
And you mentioned the talks with MidMichigan. If in the next 60 days or whatever you guys decide to go forward, what's the timeline for that to be finalized for the hospital for that partnership to happen?
Well, you know, as you go into any your relationship, you don't want to delay things. You want to kind of move as, you know, keep things progressing and so forth. But it is a process. We've been going through this process, talking to a number of different hospitals for over 2 years already.
Right.
Just a month ago, we decided to enter into a letter of interest or a letter of intent. And what that means is it just means that we kind of open up our information to them. They open up their information to us and kind of solidify the things that we've already learned about each other. I think their culture is really what's driven us to them so far. They seem to be really focused on the rural environments of Michigan, Alpena and Midland and, you know, those types of places. I know they're developing a relationship with Mackinac Straits. But so I would say the due diligence is going to be another 60 days, 90 tops. A definitive agreement would be another 3 to 6 months after that. So if and when we finalize, I would expect that it's going to be, you know, end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter in 2022. But that's my guess.
Awesome. And obviously, I know, and we've talked to David about it before, the benefits of that to your customers, to your patients and everything are obviously going to be huge with having some new services and partnerships with that organization that will be able to bring more services to the community here in Chippewa County.
Yeah, I think not just bring more, but making sure that we sustain what we have. Mm-hmm. We don't want to move backwards ever.
Right.
The things that we've brought to the community over the years. I know that when I started here in 2004, we only employed, I think, two physicians, one OB-GYN and one general surgeon, and now we have probably 60 providers between physicians and advanced providers. We're in primary care now, really trying to solidify that for our community. But yeah, I think what our community should be looking at is the fact that everything that we've brought to them so far, we want to make sure it stays here, and then we want to focus on expanding, whether that's, you know, expanding in cancer care or subspecialties. We just want to keep what we have and continue to grow for our community and provide the access that this rural community needs and deserves.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Kevin Kalchick, the CFO at War Memorial Hospital. And Kevin, obviously it's a sign of the times because my first question to you had nothing to do with COVID. So I kind of feel like we're getting a little bit past that. But can you give us an update on where we're at with COVID right now as far as the hospital's concerned and cases and anything that's affecting the hospital right now?
Yeah, I'll certainly try. David's, definitely a wealth of knowledge in regards to the COVID front at the state and national level. But So far in the last 2 weeks, we've only had one positive case, and it wasn't a hospitalized case. We do have restrictions still. We're following mandated restrictions. So visitors must wear masks. We allow one visitor still for an admitted patient. We do have our long-term care residents. They can have family and friends come visit them. They do require a testing. For outpatient services, we do not allow visitors still. We're still trying to keep everybody safe. Mm-hmm. And until we get some additional guidance, which actually, from what I understand, President Biden and MyOSHA, you know, just a lot of fronts coming out with different changes, and so we'll be going through an evaluation process next week to really see if we're going to be able to open that up a little bit more, because we certainly want to. We want our patients to have the support they need when they visit our facility.
How concerned were you as the chief financial officer when this whole thing happened, thinking, oh my gosh, this is really going to be perhaps potentially devastating to the hospital with all the shutdowns? You weren't able to do a lot of the elective surgeries that you would traditionally do. How concerned early on were you about how the adverse effect, if you thought there was going to be an adverse effect on the hospital?
I most definitely felt that there was going to be an adverse effect. Probably one of the, you know, scariest, most tenuous moments in my career, definitely here at War Memorial. I was concerned for our patients not being able to get the care that they wanted. I was concerned for our staff from their health, you know, and, mm-hmm. and safety. I was concerned for the jobs in our community and you know, keeping the services here, because it was devastating. We have about over $20 to $22 million in gross, you know, charges per month. During those times, we were down to, you know, 10 or 11 million. Everything was cut in half.
Right.
And yet we have over 900 employees that, you know, we expect them to be here to take care of our community, but yet we couldn't even guarantee at that time that they had, you know, a full-time job.
Right.
So it was very alarming. And fortunately, we had some time because the surge didn't hit us, and all of our staff, you know, the physicians, the management team, our staff, were just resilient, and you know, we were able to plan, and we did a great job keeping things open and then bringing things open quickly. Mm-hmm. Once we were able to last summer.
Right. And you mentioned the CARES Act funding and everything. You mentioned how important that was to you guys. How is that helping War Memorial, that funding that's come through because of COVID?
Okay. Well, so we received about almost $8 million in CARES funding. And what that was intended for is to, you know, cover the lost revenue so that, you know, hospitals were financially secure.
Right.
And it was also to, of course, provide personal protection equipment for our staff and develop processes and change our environment so it was safer for our staff and our patients. From a CARES funding, we justified ours. We lost nearly $5 million last year in net revenue, and that helped us bring back our employees sooner so that they were more secure. And then from a project perspective, we've updated our temperature control, which monitors our pharmaceuticals, which our vaccines were really important to maintain that, our HVAC, air filtration, ionization, you know, made a safer environment. And then we've also done a lot of updates in regards to flooring and countertops and you know, changes there that to provide surfaces that are easier to clean and, mm-hmm. and aren't porous. So there's a lot of projects we were able to do that, you know, keep everybody safer.
Right. And one of the things, too, that I think that's been great about the hospital is how the hospital has expanded its services. It seems like your footprint as far as, you know, some of the rural clinics that you have around the county and everything are really great, and you're really kind of getting the service out to people, you know, whether it's the clinic up at up the Meijer grocery store, or you've got one, you know, like on, yep. you know, in Pickford or wherever they are. You know, it seems like that's really been a great expansion for the hospital too.
Yeah, I was saying, we really weren't competing with our physicians. We have great partnerships with our physicians over the years, and you know they are the support system for our community and our hospital. And you know, people like Dr. Chander and Dr. O'Connor and the Riverside Group, they've taken care of our community for many years, 30 to 40 years, and but recently we did start to get into primary care because, you know, we want to make sure that we have primary care for the Eastern Upper Peninsula. And that's why, you know, the fast care, providing access, you know, to families, and the community care clinic here in this downtown allows people when they don't need to go to the ED, it gives them access there. And we have primary care here in town with Dr. O'Connor and Dr. Beckman and Dr. Korzecki Day, Lorraine Land, Ashley Ellis. And then out in Kinross, we have a walk-in clinic, and we're doing primary care out there. And then we have Drummond Island and Cedarville as well. So it's really our intent to make sure that we have a very stable and robust primary care environment for the community. That's primary care is, you know, very important.
So Kevin, yeah, obviously the other thing that we always are interested in is new doctors that are coming into the
yeah.
area. Who's coming in? And what type of specialties are you looking for? Or maybe some people that are on the horizon that maybe will be coming in down the line.
Okay. I think some of them you might have known, but I'm going to repeat them
sure.
again anyways. Just, you know, we have Dr. Warren. He's a pain management specialist.
Right.
And he's seeing patients now here in town. He's just a great guy. The patients will enjoy him. Dr. Sinclair is a neurologist. He'll be starting here in probably early September. He's going to do on-site and telemedicine, but you are going to be able to see him in person, Dr. Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Sora is an OB-GYN, and we've been anticipating his arrival for quite some time. He'll be starting in September, and I'm really looking forward to that because Dr. Amel and Dr. Christoph, you know, do such a great job supporting our community in
sure.
the obstetrics. You know, they're on call all the time, and so that'll give them support as well. So excited to get Dr. Sora here. And Dr. Tan is an orthopedic surgeon. He does some minimally invasive spine as well. He'll be starting here in September. cardiology. I don't know if you've talked about that at all, but Dr. Sylvie Giroux, who worked for us before, and then she went to UP Health Systems, she'll be joining us again. And I know she has a lot of patients here in town, so they'll be able to continue to see her. She'll be being able to see her patients again in mid-August, and she has a great support of PA Jamie Armstrong in cardiology. He has over 20, 25 years of experience in cardiology, and he'll be joining us as well. So that's really the new ones. I know that we continue to look for, you know, rheumatology, and we definitely need to look for another surgeon to support Dr. Adair and Dr. McCullough and Dr. Reckner. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where we're looking.
Is there any, as you look down the road or whatever, and you guys are in your meetings or whatever, boy, if we could really get this kind of a doctor, this is the, you know, I mean, obviously you have your holes and like you said, a surgeon and other ones, but boy, we'd really like to bring this new service to Chippewa County and War Memorial Hospital.
Boy, that's a tough one for me, and I did forget to mention that I think oncology, that's another one. I think we're very close to having a oncologist, so hopefully by next month we'll be able to update you on that one.
Awesome.
But I think for us, at least in my opinion, it's really making sure that the services we have are not interrupted. And so I think in a good example of that is oncology. I would say that it's more important for us to solidify and retain the great physicians that we have in our community and support them. That's the most important part first. We don't want our community to have a turnover in physicians at all. And so that has to be the focus. But new services, I'd have to say that rheumatology would be something that would be important. I could see us having a part-time infectious disease for some of the patient needs up here. I really can't think of any other service lines. I mean, you could talk about gastroenterology, but really our surgeons do a great job taking care of our patients locally. So that would be my comment.
And the other thing, too, is that and we talked recently about the medical assistant training program that's going on at the hospital, which is helping to funnel, medical assistants, I guess, like they're kind of like nurses, but they're not nurses. To help because you have a little bit of a shortage on that because the LPN program at the Lake State shut down and you need that kind of frontline worker there throughout the hospital.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, as you said, we do have an MA program and we're trying to really focus on people that have an interest in the medical field because we will train you so you don't have to necessarily have past experience in that. But the MA and the LPN really support those outpatient clinics, and you know they do a lot for the physicians to keep them, you know, the clinic running smoothly and taking all the vitals and, you know, prepping the patient before the physician sees them. But we have a shortage in certified nurse aides, so we're working with Bay Mills College to develop a CNA training course out there. They're also interested in the MA program that we're doing and hopefully an LPN program eventually because we have a shortage in all of those areas and it's hard to bring on new physicians if they don't have the staff to support them.
Right. Great. Well, I think that's great. And obviously the financial health of the hospital, the here that it's so strong and robust, I think that's great news for the community. Kevin, anything else you want to add before we let you go? We really appreciate your time today, and some great information that you've been giving us this morning.
You know, I think that I'd just like to encourage everybody to get their vaccination. Still, we're at about 54% vaccination rate for 16 and over in Chippewa County. So I would really encourage that, and everybody can get online and go to the My Shot campaign. And Michigan's putting out the $50,000 a day lottery for anybody that's had their vaccination. I don't know if you've mentioned that on air.
Oh yeah.
And also from 12 to 17, they can get a $55,000 scholarship. But so again, what I'd like to say is just continue to urge people to get vaccinations and keep everybody safe. We're pretty fortunate. It seems like we're getting through the hump, but let's keep on going.
Hey, one other thing, you mentioned that. I know that the last time we talked to David, too, that there was a fairly healthy surplus of vaccines that you guys had at the hospital. And I know that he was working in conjunction with like federal authorities to try to maybe funnel some of those over to Canada or to get use those before they expire. Where are we at with those?
Yeah, so we have about 1,100 doses that will expire by the end of July. So we would love to be able to utilize those. We haven't had any success being able to go over to Canada. David's definitely tried hard doing that. We actually have a vaccination clinic that anybody can call in and come into our occupational health every Wednesday morning. So we would encourage anybody that wants to be vaccinated, they can sign up and come in on Wednesday mornings.
Is there a plan? I know that the if you get to the point where you don't want 1,100 vaccines just to go, you know, down the toilet or whatever, is there a plan that if they can't go to Canada or if you're not putting them in arms here, that they're going to go someplace else that they will be utilized?
I don't think that there's a need to send them anywhere else, unfortunately, at least from a state perspective, but we would work with anybody that needed them if they did, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. In fact, we opened it up in the past where we had charter buses coming up from downstate.
I remember that, yeah.
For vaccinations.
Right.
But at this point, each of the vials, you can give about 7 vaccinations, and we're not, you know, before we made sure we had 7 people to give it to, but at this point, if there's only one, then that's what we'll do because it's more important to utilize those before they expire.
Right.
But even after that, we do have another 3,000 doses that are not at risk of expiring. And so we definitely have a lot more to give our community, but it sure would be nice to be able to utilize those 1,100 up.
But it's just amazing to me how, you know, how we were so, you know, concerned about, you know, the vaccine when it first came out and there was a big influx on it. And now it's like, now we're sitting here talking about, you know, at the end of the month, we might have some that are just going to go to waste. It's amazing to me how different, you know, maybe, you know, 5-6 months can be between, you know, when we first find out about something to where we are today. And hopefully, you know, I still hope that, you know, I know that a lot of Canadian listeners would like be, boy, we'd like to get those over here. So whatever we could do. And I know Dave's been working hard on that and no fault of his own. It's all the government stupid red tape that you have to go through, which I'm sure as the CFO, you're all aware of the government red tape that hospitals have to deal with. But it would be great to be able to utilize those and have them not go to waste. But I appreciate that.
Absolutely agree.
All right. Well, Kevin, we appreciate anything else you want to add before we let you go, or you good?
No. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, I look forward to as David transitions out of what he's doing now, and you transition into that, getting you on the air on a regular basis and having you on. It'll be great to get to know you and eventually get you here in the studio so you can come in and we can have a conversation about things that are going on at War Memorial Hospital. But appreciate the time today. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin Kalchick from War Memorial Hospital, the CFO at War Memorial Hospital, joining us this morning here on 1230 WSOO.